don't know if y'all just heard that, but my tie started playing by itself. I've got one of those musical Christmas ties that if you press the button, it plays, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." And when I got up to come up here, it started playing all by itself. something to think about. Thank you, Praise Team, for not only the songs, but the Advent readings. We thank you, and we appreciate everything you do for us here to add to our worship service. Let's pray. Father, thank you now that we come before you and we can preach your word. And Lord, as we remember, your messenger, Lord Gabriel, as he came to Mary, your servant, Father, we understand that sometimes you break through the clouds and you break through the busyness and you break through all these things to give us good news and great announcements. And Father, as we look at that this morning, I ask that you will remove me from it and let your Holy Spirit make such great announcements to each heart, to each mind, that there's nothing they can do but respond to it in worship and awe. So Father, we turn it all over to you, and in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Well, being the month of December, we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, so let's start in Luke chapter 1, and when we get to it, we're going to be starting in verses 26 through 38. 26 through 38. Now, in church history, this section of the Scripture is called the Annunciation. Now, that simply means the announcement. However, you know, when I think about Annunciation, I think about the way you pronounce words properly. That's an Annunciation, but this is completely different. This is a great announcement that God made to His servant. Now, the Advent reading mentioned the announcement that God made to Matthew. Well, we're going to talk about the one he made to Mary this morning. But you see, in so studying, God intercedes in our lives sometimes in big ways, in ways of big announcements, and sometimes in small ways, like the still small voice. And in so doing, he makes these announcements of what about to occur. God tells us what is going to happen sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. That is all up to the will of God. Sometimes he lets us walk into our problems, face the consequences, and then rely on him in the midst of those consequences. However, there are times in history when God breaks through and makes announcements, and we should be familiar with this. You see, at one time in past days, he used angels and prophets, sometimes animals and common folk, to get his word out. Nowadays, he mainly uses his written word, that's the Bible, of course, as the conduit through which his will is to be made known. But I will never say he cannot or will not use the same types of messengers he did before, but nowadays they must not contradict the Bible. Now that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. But if there's any way that God sends a message to you that contradicts the Bible, that's not of God. But this way, with Gabriel, it fulfilled prophecy. We talked about prophecies last week, and these big announcements are common in the Bible, but they're also common today, aren't they? Life-changing announcements are seen in things like, "We're going to have a baby?" That's more of a question, but yeah, that's an announcement. How about, "She said yes," or "He said yes"? That's a pretty big announcement, wouldn't you think? A life-changing announcement. You could even go on the negative side. "I'm afraid it's a cancerous tumor." That's a pretty big announcement. And it is life-altering. These are often extremely impactful on the person that is receiving the news. I remember my grandfather talking about him and his brother when they got their draft notices at the beginning of World War II. And if any of y'all have ever seen one of those draft notices, it begins with the words, "Greetings from the President." That's a pretty big announcement. It's a pretty big life-altering announcement. In fact, it was so life-altering, my grandpa survived, came back home to Mississippi, and started his family. And his brother remains to this day buried in the French countryside awaiting the last trump. And it could have been either one of them. A big announcement changes lives. God makes these grand announcements as well as speaking in that still small voice. But today we're going to focus on the grand announcements that He's made. So I want us to turn to Luke 1, 26 through 38. And we'll read that. Luke 1, 26 through 38. starting at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth the Son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed unto her. What an announcement. Mary, and she couldn't have been more than 13, 14 years old. Okay, that was the initial marrying ages, right after what the Jewish girls called their bat mitzvah. They became adults legally and they could be married at that time. So she's minding her own business, and all of a sudden this dude appears. Now his name's Gabriel, and we know from reading what Gabriel had said to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, that he is the one who stands in the presence of God. He is always there, ready to be sent. Ready to be sent wherever God would have him. We see him in Daniel. We see him in Matthew. And now we see him in Luke. He is the primary messenger. He's not the only messenger, but he's the primary messenger we read about from God to people in the angelic form. And so, the first thing he says is, Hail Mary. That's not the football pass, by the way. Thou, you know, full of grace. Let me read that one more time so I can get it right. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, she was a 13, 14-year-old girl, hardly qualified to be called a woman, but here is an angel of God speaking this to her. And she's a little confused. He tells her what's going to happen. He makes the grand announcement that God said, You, Mary, are highly favored, and you are going to bear a son, and he is going to be called the Son of the Most High. And God's going to give him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now this is a little poor Jewish girl. And God is making this announcement in her life to move literally, heaven and earth, the long-awaited Messiah of Israel, the one who would be on the throne of David, was going to come, as Jesus would say later, not into a king's house with purple robes and fancy things, but he came as a poor child, born in an itinerant way, born in a stable, post probably a cave, with the animals, in a crowded city where no one of importance would know. But oh yes, as we'll talk about next week, the shepherds were important because the shepherds, symbolically, Christ is the great shepherd. The shepherds were the first one outside that family to know what was going to happen and what had happened by that time. We'll talk about them next week. I want to keep talking about Mary and the announcement. He announced what Israel had been waiting for. And Mary expressed her amazement at the news. When she did this and Gabriel told her why and how that the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow you, as the King James says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you because that thing that is going to be born in you is going to be the Son of the Most High. I don't like personally the word thing, but that's the way it's translated. Now Mary was, and since I know she's in heaven, she is a good woman. She is not the co-redemptrix. You do not pray to Mary. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. Mary's a good woman. She's in heaven, but I bet you she's going to slap some heads when some folks may get up there or not. But she does not receive your prayers. I just want to make that. In fact, we know that she herself needed a Savior. Luke 1:47 says, she rejoices in God my Savior. She realizes she needs a Savior. And in fact, Mary did not stay a virgin. In fact, in Matthew 1:25, it says that she had other children. The Bible's own accounts, thus not remaining a virgin. It says that Joseph did not know her until after she gave birth to Jesus. So after she gave birth to Jesus, she had a normal married life. And she had other sons and daughters. In fact, they're the ones that tried to round up Jesus one time. Your mother and your brothers and sisters are out here waiting on you, Jesus. And he said to the crowd, who are my mother and brothers? So he had a family. So let's put away the perpetual virginity of Mary. It is not a biblical fact. And she is not a co-redemptrix. That is not a biblical fact. Let's just talk about the woman, the child, Mary, who loved God so much that God chose her to be the vessel through which He would be incarnate into this world. And what did she do? Did she do like Zacharias? Now she asked Gabriel, how can this be? And that's what Zacharias asked. But you see, Gabriel could probably, through the process of God, see the heart. And Zacharias was doubting. So Zacharias, this is Luke chapter 1, had his tongue frozen. He could not speak until he said his name is John. Talking about John the Baptist. But Mary said, in humility, how can this be? And it was explained, and then she said, very simply, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What guts it took for that young lady. I really admire Mary and Joseph. What guts it took to say, okay, whatever, Lord, you do, I'm your handmaid and I'm your servant. You do realize that at that time, if she had been found without child and Joseph had decided to put her away, you do know what the penalty was for adultery, right? It was, of course, stoning. Joseph loved her. He didn't want that to happen to her. And that's when the angel came and talked to him after she had told him. So obviously, Gabriel came to see Mary first and then Joseph. So our sermon today speaks not only of the announcement of the birth of Jesus, but I want to talk specifically about God making big announcements in our lives. And one of the most important announcements that He makes is, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. You cannot come away from that without certain types of reactions in your body. God breaks into our lives with other such big announcements. Now, I'm going to give you some biblical examples here. What about Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3? God broke into his life. He was just this dude hanging out in Ur of Chaldea. You know, he was rich. He had things. But God suddenly said unto him, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now this is important because Christ is a descendant of Abraham. He is. He's in the line. He's in the right prophetic line to be the Messiah. But here was old, he was called Abram at that time. This wandering Aramean from Chaldea. He was chosen by God to be the father of a new group of people. And he wasn't even a dad yet. And he was old by then. I really believe that God chose Sarah to be barren until the time that God's power could be shown in their lives. What does that tell me? That tells me that sometimes brothers and sisters will go through a whole life, but God has chosen for one thing for us to be, and we may not have reached that point yet, but at some point He's going to announce to us what our reason for being is. Now He does it in different ways to different people. And sometimes it is the still small voice, but sometimes it's the big announcement. And that's what we see here. So God chose this man. He was promised a new land and a huge family. And from this family would come one who would bless the entire world. And of course we know that is Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God through Mary the virgin girl. What a great and life-altering announcement to Abraham that was. And he would see multiple, multiple generations of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. God kept His promise. He made the announcement and He kept it. God does that, you know. He tells you something, and with your faith in play, He delivers that promise in His time. In His time. So, let me give you another example. Brother Mel, I told you I wouldn't be in Isaiah this morning, so you're going to have to fuss at me later, but we're going to be in Isaiah right now. Isaiah 7:14. The Lord, again, making a great announcement. Now, we got to understand the context. They had this evil Judean king by the name of Ahaz, or Ahaz, some people pronounce it. But he was at war, and God was trying to tell him that God was going to take care of the people of Judah to ask for a sign. And, of course, Ahaz was not a godly king. But he pulled out religion. He says, I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to ask God. He didn't want to. So God made a big announcement. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Now we know in this prophecy there's a twofold announcement. As far as Ahaz, it was a timing issue. From the time of the young girl, the virgin gave birth until the child was ready to eat curds and honey, during that time, their enemy would be destroyed. But it also goes into what we read in the book of Matthew as a prophecy for the coming Messiah. A virgin would have to conceive. Now let me tell you something. Some people say, well, that just means young girl. And yes, it does to an extent. But would it be a miracle for any girl to get pregnant? Of course not. We kind of figured out how that happened a long time ago. But God intervening in such a way that it would be unmistakable that God was behind it. A virgin shall have a son, shall conceive, and they shall call His name Emmanuel. Now what is that? We sang that a few minutes ago. God with us. God with us. Do we understand the importance of that statement? Do you understand that the God who said, let there be light, and there was light, and created every animal, and created every herb and seed, and created everything. He even created kudzu, as we used to say. He even created the mosquitoes that you swat at during the summer. He created all things, including the planets and the stars and the vast, far-off universe. But His ultimate creation were those that were created in His image. Do you know that you bear the image of God? Now, it might be marred by sin, and it might be downcast, and it might be all kinds of things, but you are created in the image of God. Therefore, you are God's special creation, and God wanted you to be reconciled with Him. And so, a virgin conceived and bore a son. And that son was physically, philosophically, spiritually, theologically, however you want to say it, He was the embodiment of God Almighty in human form. He was 100% man, and He was 100% God. Well, that makes 200%. Yes, it's a mystery, but it's true. And God help us, we need to remember that. We need to remember that all the time. That special child, His name represented His mission. God with us. That great announcement. And you know what? He still is with us. He may have died, but He rose again. And He is coming again. We'll get to that in just a second. And this child grew up. And he grew up sinless. Folks, Jesus never stole a cookie out of the cookie jar. Okay? He didn't. Now, He had other things. He had the normal bodily growing up that all young people have. And was He tempted? Yes, He was tempted not only by Satan in the wilderness, but it says He was tempted in every way a man can be, and yet was without sin. He wanted that cookie, but He didn't steal it. He was tempted with many things. But you see, there came a time after that temptation where he was going to make a big announcement. He was going to say who he was and what his mission was. We can read in Luke 4, 16 through 21, which is quoting the prophet Isaiah. But this is Jesus speaking in Nazareth, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath day. Verse 16 in Luke chapter 4. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. Now notice, if you know that prophecy, he stopped there because right after that it talked about the day of God's wrath. But the day of wrath had not come yet. So Jesus stopped there. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now listen to this. He said, and he began to say to them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Basically, the announcement was, folks, there's a Messiah, and I'm here. I am He, and I am here. So those that say Jesus never claimed to be Messiah or claimed to be God or anything like that, they're just whistling in the wind, because that right there, He claimed His Messiahship. The anointed of God, the one that was to come to save His people from their sins. And thank God we are included in the people of God. We are the children of Abraham by faith, joined into the fig tree of Israel by the grafting, and all the law and all the prophets and all the gospel is ours because of what He did. Brothers and sisters, we can celebrate that every day. Those big announcements that God has. You see, we see Jesus making this big announcement by using the Word of God. And I would argue that the Word of God makes the biggest announcements for all eternity. And what is that? It is the gospel. It's in a nutshell in Mark 1, 14 through 15. It says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" I should be able to get up here on Sunday morning and say that and that alone. And God can use that to turn a heart to Him. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God never leaves you unchanged. Now, let me clarify that. When you hear the gospel, you either accept it or you don't. If you accept it, that's a change, right? If you don't, you stand in a position of hearing the gospel. Therefore, your life is changed. You just chose the negative path. When we hear the Word of God, we either love it or we reject it. And apathy is rejection. What happens in your heart when you hear the Word of God? You know, there are times when I hear the Word of God and I'm going through something with sorrow and doubt and anxiety, and it's comforting. It's comforting. And there's times when I hear the Word of God and I get on a high, and I'm telling you, I'm going to start going Pentecostal on you and start dancing in the pulpit, because I feel the power and the ebb and flow of God's Word and power through His Word into my heart. And then there's times when I just sit back and glory in what the Word of God has said. It's comfort, it's strength, it's everything. And there's so much awe if you truly have that Word enlightened by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't say anything. You just sit back in reverence and go, "My Lord and my God." You know, Thomas, when he said that, Jesus was standing before him in his risen state, but yet he still had the scars. And he said, "Put your hand here, Thomas." Thomas didn't do that. Thomas just worshiped. Now we fuss at doubting Thomas all the time. But he did the right thing when he was confronted. He believed on the Lord and he called Him my Lord and my God. And when we see Him through the Holy Spirit, can't we do that, brothers and sisters? We should at this time of year. We should do this. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus announced the truth. The Bible states it simply later on. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This announcement fulfills the reason Gabriel went to Mary at the start. He shall be called the Son of the Most of the Highest. Or as it says in Matthew 1:21, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is repeating the announcement that Gabriel started. You know, I'm not on a one-on-one personal basis with Gabriel, so I don't feel comfortable calling him Gabe. But you get the point, right? It's an amazing. Well, you know, if we're going to judge angels when we get to heaven, maybe I'm allowed to. But we'll talk about that at that time. Okay, I'll leave it for now. So this great announcement is made. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come into the world to save His people from His sins. He lived that sinless life and He taught the Word of God. Why? Because He wrote the Word of God. He spoke the Word of God. He was the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He was crucified as a propitiation for our sins. He was buried but rose again on the third day. He is alive and stands ascended to the right hand of God the Father, from whence He will come again to judge the living and the dead. All those who call on the name of the Lord in repentance and faith shall be saved. When He comes again, He will call His people unto Himself, where they will rule with Him forever and ever. Amen. This is the gospel. And it's a beautiful gospel. It is the only hope we have, brothers and sisters. And I know we get sometimes folks that fuss at us for celebrating Christmas and Resurrection Day and all that. Well, you did just pagan practices. You know what? I worship God according to the dictates of my heart. According to what I read the will of God in the Word of God. And if I want to celebrate His birth, I'm going to celebrate His birth. I'm going to celebrate His resurrection. I'm going to celebrate His resurrection. If I'm going to celebrate the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to do it. Because it's all the Word of God. This is the gospel. This is the truth. Believe the truth and it shall set you free through the blood of Jesus that is shed on the cross. Imagine Mary hearing that great announcement. Being that young girl, my daughter's age, hearing that angel speak those words, knowing the possible consequences, but then being comforted by the same messenger, for with God nothing is impossible. And even your cousin, Elizabeth, who's never had a baby, she's in her 6th month. Now, they did it more the old-fashioned way, okay, because the Bible tells us that Zechariah knew Elizabeth and she conceived, because only Jesus could be born of a virgin. Only the Messiah to be born of a virgin. Talk about that great announcement. Here is the mercy and compassion of the Father for His creation. He offers the free gift of salvation to all who come to Him. True repentance results in a converted and fruit-bearing life. Now, do you know this in your heart? Or is this just head knowledge? You know, D. James Kennedy, the guy used to be on TV all the time, and he was the Presbyterian minister from, I believe it was Fort Lauderdale, somewhere in Florida. But he would always argue that head knowledge is not heart knowledge. Intellectual assent to the facts about Jesus is not salvific. You know, you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but not be covered by His blood. You can believe the fact that Jesus existed, but you can turn around and walk from it. That's why when you are converted, you have to believe in what the Word of God tells you. That not only is He the Son of God, but that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And God provided the Lamb of God. Do you know this? Do you realize the enormity of this announcement? The everlasting Father became a man so that He would save mankind. When Jesus announces Himself personally, lives are changed. Lives are changed. Now, it could be a positive change or it could be a negative change, but there's never ignorance of the gospel once it's heard. You know, when you hear the words of Jesus, things change. What of the paralytic let down through the roof we read about in Mark? Arise, your sins are forgiven thee. His sins are forgiven. Jesus, I'm not here for my sins. I'm paralyzed. Son, your sins are forgiven you. Which is easier to say, sins are forgiven you, or get up and walk? So you'll understand, get up and walk. That man got up, and he walked home after they had to cut a hole in the roof and let him down through it. The words of Jesus changed his life. What of the disciples? You know, I saw something a couple days ago in the checkout line at one of the local grocery stores, and it was a Time magazine, and it was something they do every year at Christmas. They put a picture of Jesus on the cover, and then it just says, Jesus. And under it, it said, who do you say that I am? Well, you see, that's a double-edged sword. Because we know what the Scripture says. He is the Son of God. The Son of the Most High. But you see, when you're confronted with Jesus, you're the one who's going to have to say who He is. Who do you say that He is? Just a good teacher? Yes, He taught many good things. He taught the Word of God. He taught the law of God. But He also taught you that you needed reconciliation to the Father because of sin. The disciples were asked point blank, who do men say that I am? And then they said, well, you're Elijah or one of the prophets. And then he looked at Peter, good old redneck fisherman Peter. Who do you say that I am? Now, I don't think Jesus used that tone of voice, okay? Although with Peter, it's quite possible. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Bingo, Peter! It's not flesh and blood that revealed to you, but my Father in heaven that revealed that to you. And upon this rock, that means His faith, I will build my church. That's all in the same conversation. What of Paul? Was there a big announcement in Paul's life? I think so. He's on his little horse there going to Damascus to help destroy the church. And suddenly there was a blinding light. And he heard an announcement. Heard his name called. Have you ever been in a room and heard your name called when you didn't think anybody else was in there? That's kind of spooky. Usually there's someone around the corner and you didn't know they were there, but still, for that brief moment, and he fell to the ground. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Isn't it hard to kick against the goads? Now, I've heard many sermons preached on what goads are. I'll spare you that right now. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, he had never persecuted Jesus. Some people try to argue he was part of the Sanhedrin. We don't know that. That's all speculation. But he was going after Jesus' body. Therefore, he did persecute those who belonged to the Lord. Therefore, he persecuted Jesus. And he was blinded. And he was told, I'm going to show you just how much you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. And we read in several letters how much Paul suffered, but he did so willingly because he got to meet Jesus at the announcement of him interceding in his life. And he was no longer Saul of Tarsus, but he was Paul the Apostle. And we still read his words because they are part of the Word of God. They were divinely inspired. There's Paul's big announcement. What of the 3,000 saved at Pentecost? Remember what Peter told them? He started preaching and everything, and they were like, well, what shall we do? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, to be baptized and all that stuff. And he's talking, and 3,000 that day got saved. An announcement was made in their lives, and their lives were changed. And then they scattered all over the Roman Empire and took the gospel to many different places that would not have been if it stayed strictly in Jerusalem. And what of the billions saved since then? What of those that have heard the announcement of Christ into their lives and they have believed in repentance and faith and God has miraculously saved them? People who were murderers, drug addicts, child molesters, and gossipers and gluttons and all kind of things that we don't even want to think we are, but yet we're all sinners. Even when we're saved, we're still sinners. That's a mystery. But yet, we are saved unto salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that brings me to my last, what about? What about you? Has God made that announcement in your life at some point, and you've responded and your life was changed? If so, hallelujah. But what about, okay, I believe all the facts, but, you know, I know I haven't lived my life according to the Word of God. I don't know what I'm going to do. Brothers and sisters, the announcement is still in effect. God changes lives by His announcement of the gospel. And if you don't know God, the announcement is now. You have no more excuse to say, I don't know that, I don't understand that, I've never heard that. Yes, you have. And whether you're in here today, or you're listening on our FM transmitter, or you're watching by Facebook, you have now heard the gospel, and it is up to you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to let it change your life so that you can be reconciled to God and sleep in peace when eternal consequences are understood, whether they are good or bad? Are you going to continue to reject? I'm speaking to those who aren't saved right now. Are you going to continue to reject God? Oh, there's a better time coming. Brothers and sisters, we are not promised tomorrow. Now, I don't believe in emotional manipulation. I believe in presenting the truth, and you, through the Holy Spirit, make the decision. God is not going to change His announcement. As long as this earth rotates, as long as this body of believers are here, as long as this world keeps going, the gospel is there. But there will come a point when a lot of what we do is removed. Oh, there'll still be the gospel. If you read the book of Revelation, when all hell is breaking loose on earth, there's angels flying through heaven proclaiming the everlasting gospel. God gives every man every chance that they have. But yet there will come a time when the announcement is turned off. And then that's a whole other story. So, do you know the one announced by Gabriel to Mary? You know, I love that song, Mary, Did You Know? But that's not the question. It's not, did Mary know? Gabriel told her. It's, do you know? That just doesn't rhyme as well when you're singing it, though. Do you know? And instead of Mary, it's, hey, you! But God knows your name. God knows every hair on your head. God knows everything about you. And you know what? He loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. He does love you. He loved you so much that He became man so that you could have faith and you would go to Him in eternity. So do you know? Now you do. You have no excuse not to turn God or to turn back to God. Repent. Believe the gospel. Will you? Will you trust Him fully for His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's not a... You can be trusting in His grace this hour. You can be fully trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't only say you can be, but I would argue you must be. You must be. So why tarry any longer? You can come to the cross. You can come to the manger as long as you see the cross before you. You come and worship the King. Come and see the newborn God-man that Gabriel announced so long ago. Come hear the great announcement that blesses the whole world. Not just Abraham, through you the whole world is going to be blessed. It's, I am He. This scripture is fulfilled in your ears. This prophecy is fulfilled in your sight, in your heart, in your knowledge. Why wait? You want to celebrate? Celebrate! You want to consider and ponder as Mary pondered all these things in her heart, the scripture tells us? You can certainly do that. Merciful God who loves you and makes this announcement in your heart this day in the Lamb's book of life. And when that happens, the whole universe... Brothers and sisters, this Christmas season, do not forget that announcement and never... I do know that sometimes when the invitation is given, we tend to, well, I'll do it another time, or I'm not feeling led to go. I understand all that. I would ask those that would pray that if that's the case, God would... That doesn't necessarily mean they have to come down and pray with the pastor. Okay? But it does mean they're going to be in the presence of God and ask Him to open up the truth to them and become a child of God. Trust more than me, do so. But never, ever forget, this invitation is for you to get closer to God. And in so doing, be blessed.